Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, the Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. This is episode number 47. My name's Jared. I'm here with my buddy Paul.
What up?
And we're coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, fight capital of the world. Today, we're going to be talking about the UFC's lightweight division. We're going to be talking a little bit about UFC Mexico, which is the next big fight card on the horizon. We're also going to dive into boxing on today's show a little bit. We got some interesting things going on with Tyson Fury and the rest of the heavyweight division, as well as some exciting fights coming up there as well. But hey, to get things started, we're going to do what we always do and talk about our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Today's episode, we got three killer kinds of bud we are smoking. Now, Paul just took a hit on this big, what is that, 18 inches?
I don't know.
It's a big fat bong over here. That one's loaded up with some White Tahoe cookies. White Tahoe cookies is a three-way cross of the White, Tahoe OG Kush, and Girl Scout cookies. We've also got two other weeds. We've got Super Sour Diesel, one of my personal favorites, which is a pure sativa, is crossed sour diesel crossed with super silver haze. And then finally, we've got another little bit more of the rare kind of herb. Continuing our theme there, we've got some Wedding Crasher, which is wedding cake crossed with purple punch. About a 50-50 sativa indica hybrid on that one, which you just hit on this little bong, or what did you just hit? You were hitting all kinds of weed.
While I just hit everything.
You just hit everything. Well, word. I'm going to dive into this a little bit. But you know what? While I'm doing that, what did you think of, we're coming off the Khabib Poirier. It's been like, what, a month since our last episode? We've been on a bit of a break.
Shit's been weak in the MMA world for the last month.
It has been. But the last card was pretty good. We had Cowboy Gaethje on top of that. That was exciting.
Yeah.
Before that, of course, we had Khabib beating the hell out of Poirier.
Yeah.
Which influences this fight a little bit. But what did you think of that main event this past weekend?
I think Justin Gaethje's the guy who's going to beat Khabib. That's what I came back with from this weekend.
Are you serious?
100%.
I don't know.
Justin Gaethje will cancel out that wrestling pressure of Khabib. Maybe, like, not even... he doesn't even have to cancel it out. It's just the fact of he's not going to be able to hold Justin Gaethje in the positions that he held Dustin Poirier in, that he held Conor in, that he held countless other fighters in, because they don't naturally grapple on a day-to-day basis since they were young, like Khabib did, or like Justin Gaethje did, or
Gaethje,
like Tony
Ferguson. I do know he did start wrestling when he was 4 years old, if I believe correct. It's just...
He's wrestled his whole life, dude.
I'm doubtful. Not of his wrestling credentials, but the fact that he's still... We've never seen it.
It doesn't matter, though. It's not... Here's the fact of the matter is, Khabib has fought a lot of strikers. He isn't, and a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, but he hasn't fought any wrestlers, because wrestlers know how to handle the positions he puts people in. Like, to be honest, if he put Justin Gaethje in the position he put Conor in and tried to choke him out from there, Justin Gaethje would just do a stand-up and get the fuck out. Like, it would be second nature to him. But, like, a guy like Conor who fucking stuck his ass out, bent his body over, and let him get an angle on him because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, it's not even a knock on him. It's just that those guys have been in those situations through grappling their entire life. And then to put on top of it, like, even Khabib, like, his jiu-jitsu is not, like, real jiu-jitsu. It's like he wrestles you into jiu-jitsu. And that's kind of how, like, I just feel like he wouldn't be able to put Justin Gaethje in those same situations that he puts everyone else in. Same thing with Tony Ferguson. I think Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje are, whoever gets to him first, I think is going to beat him. Just because when you look at Khabib's, like, record overall, his biggest fights are against strikers. Like,
he has been fortunate in that regard to have faced a series of strikers. I don't really
and
think
I'm not knocking him for it. I'm not knocking it. It sounds like I'm knocking him for it, but obviously it's not
like
his fault.
Cherry picking people.
Yeah, but at the same time, I feel like his full everyone talk about he's just like this dominant figure, but I still think his full ability has not been tested against somebody who's almost an equal to him in not necessarily like.
I mean, he's only lost one fucking round in the entire
yeah
his entire career in the UFC at least, and that's to Conor.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd like to think Gaethje could beat him because I'm not a fan of Khabib. I respect his skills, I guess. I mean, it's hard not to, but I don't like him. I don't like the way he fights. I don't.
I really want him to lose, but I think Tony Ferguson is his worst nightmare. That's why everyone's talking about or Conor or someone else, because everyone does not want that train to stop. Dana White wants to just get his. He's just signed a 5-year deal to do that Abu Dhabi fucking event. 5 years. Yeah, so we got 4 more years of that after this. So that's the thing. He wants another fight there. So he can't risk him losing to a guy like Tony Ferguson, who is kind of hard to really. Tony Ferguson, like now, he's kind of like this cult-like figure in the sport. But like before, it was more of like he was an outcast because he was kind of just like a strange guy. And he always has been kind of a strange guy. But like now, like, Jesus, you know, with
14 fights now.
Yeah. And also it's straight like he's caught this social media following, you know, with the Tony Ferguson's the type of guy to like, you know, those quotes, like everyone that was trending on Twitter for like a whole weekend. So, I think he's gotten big enough to get the fight now, but I don't think Dana White's willing to give up the aura of Khabib being undefeated yet.
Well, even Khabib's old man is talking about 30-0 is enough, and you know his old man runs the show when it comes to that.
Yeah. Well, what? But that's 4 more fights, right?
He's 28 right now. It's only 2.
I thought he was 27.
He was 27 before Poirier.
Damn.
So.
So, 2 L's.
It'd be nice.
I don't know, but I think if... Here's the thing, too. Khabib is a bargaining tool as well for the UFC.
Damn,
because they can still dangle that over Conor's head and be like, we'll give it back to you if you beat this guy or beat this guy. But if Khabib goes in and loses to Tony Ferguson, you lose Conor probably too.
You lose Conor, period?
Because what other legitimate money-making fight does he have on the table at that point?
I don't know. I don't even know if there's anybody... I don't know if Khabib Conor 2 is the big money maker everybody thinks it is. I think
whether it is or isn't, who else is out there that's going to really like really bring in the numbers with
for Conor?
Yeah.
Oh, I've already said I don't think Conor's coming back, period.
Yeah.
That doesn't change. I don't think he's going to fight Khabib. I don't think he's going to fight anybody. Despite his interview with Ariel, he came out and said some of the right things, and for a second I believed it, but it's not like I mean, shit, Dana was said, oh, we're just going to wait till the Poirier fight. We're going to wait till the Poirier fight. Well, the Poirier fight came and went with no massive announcement on that big stage.
Well, here's the thing with the Poirier fight. Like, if you're Gaethje, Conor McGregor, why would you...
Conor.
Well, here's the thing. If you're Conor McGregor, why would you revisit the Poirier fight?
There
is no better statement you can make with that fight. Already beat him in 90 seconds. Anything less or lesser of a performance is going to be seen as a loss in the eyes of the public.
Yeah, that already like, Conor's lost a step.
That already, is already looking for reasons to doubt you. So why take the Poirier fight? Because it just doesn't make any sense. Because if one thing is Poirier has gotten much better, and obviously you want to fight the best, but at the same time you can't leave a better statement than you've already left. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I get why certain people are calling for it. And from a pure sporting aspect, it does make a certain kind of sense because they both lost to Khabib. They had that, you know, that prior matchup at 145. But Conor doesn't care about that kind of shit. Conor cares about legacy and big fights. And you can't do better than, like I said, the 90 seconds. Unless he goes out and smokes him in fucking 30 seconds. And then we all go, well, this was a waste of time.
Yeah.
You know. So, I agree. I don't like the Poirier
fight. It's a lose-lose situation.
I don't want to see Conor Khabib. I really do want to see that Ferguson fight. And I guess if the Ferguson fight doesn't happen, I guess Gaethje would be the guy.
I really want to see Gaethje fight Khabib.
I'd love it if he could win, but I just can't buy it, unfortunately. As much as I hate Khabib and want to be like, yeah, he'll kick his ass. I think we're stuck with this guy until he retires. He's that good.
You think he'd beat Ferguson?
I don't have any faith in that fight actually happening. The way that Dana White is already like sourpussing it, and the fact that it's been scheduled, is it 4 or 5 times?
Scheduling aside, who do you think would win that fight?
I'd have to say Khabib.
Still, huh?
Yeah. I don't want to. But
I think it would be a different game on the ground if you're.
We haven't seen anybody. People made that big deal about Michael Johnson, like tagging him up a little bit.
Dustin Poirier fucking almost finished him twice. He had him rocked on the feet, and then he had him in a deep, deep, deep guillotine that he was just too tired to finish. And then fucking octagon was 125 degrees.
I know, that's crazy. How can you ask people to go fight in 120? We know what we know. How, we're coming to you from Las Vegas. Yeah, it's still summer here in September. Y'all are breaking out your winter coats here in the USA. Yeah. We're still out there sweating our asses
sweating
off.
Sweating my ass off.
So like we know about heat out here. I mean, fuck, yeah. We saw 118 easy this summer.
Yeah.
But I don't even try to be outside.
Yeah.
Fuck, I try to go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Like it's the dead of winter and there's 10 feet of snow outside. Yeah. I'm not trying to go out there.
Yeah, fuck.
Right?
It's hot as fuck.
I'm not trying to fucking fight in a cage at 125 degrees for fucking 15 minutes.
No way.
Fuck, man. That's brutal. That will fucking sap your energy.
Dude, fucking Dominic Cruz was texting Joe Rogan during their Fight Companion about how hot it was.
I missed that Fight Companion.
It was
brutal. I wanted to watch that one.
It was all right. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think Justin Gaethje is just starting to put it all together, and I think it's his time right now.
Why do you think Dana's already hesitant about the fucking Ferguson fight? Is it just prior history, or do you think there's something going on behind the scenes we don't know about?
Who knows?
Because the UFC is starting to play that fucking.
Well, like
they're
I said, what
some
if
behind
what
the
if,
scenes bullshit like always?
Yeah, but it also could be just a bargaining tool as well because they can't sit up there and say that Conor McGregor is not going to be next because then Conor McGregor is not going to ever want to be next. So I think whether he's the next fighter or not, I think that every single time Khabib fights, they're going to be asked, "Will he fight Conor next?" He's going to be like, "Maybe. We'll see what happens. Maybe if they take it, maybe they don't." You know. Like, he just leaves the door open for either situation to happen, and none of the guys involved to be butthurt by him being going out and saying one guy's getting the shot and the other's not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Tony Ferguson, what are you going to say about that? Because he's like, what? No, duh, I'll fucking take the fight. So, so if you're going to take the fight, then why would you be upset by him saying that? And then if you're Conor McGregor, you're like, well, damn, that sounds like Tony doesn't want the fight, so it sounds like it's going to be my fight. So you know what I mean? Like, he just literally said something that was, like, controversial but not controversial at the same time. Because, like, it's a bargaining tool. If you're really looking at it from outside, looking in, it's like he's just not trying to piss either guy off here.
I swear to God, you know who I'd really rather see Conor fight? Honestly. And I think it would make
Max Hall.
More sense? No, fuck that 145 shit. He's never going to make
no,
that.
No, at 55.
I want to see him be next in line. They should keep it around.
BMF.
And have Conor fight the winner for the BMF title.
Dude, that's going to be.
Seriously. I'm not joking.
Well, let's talk about that real quick.
Like, if you don't know what we're talking about, folks, it's Nate Diaz created this title. With the fucking bad, it's the bad motherfucker title.
Bad Madison Square Garden.
And Dana White decided to play along, is making a real belt, the BMF belt.
You want to hear some shit, too?
Headlining Madison Square Garden.
Ariel Helwani was talking about that they might put two more title fights on that card under the BMF belt.
Well, they should do that. They should keep it around. And then that's who Conor should fight next. It's not even a fucking real belt, so it doesn't really matter. Either fight would be big.
I don't like Conor at 170.
All right, that's the only fucking flaw in that one, but whatever. I mean, both. You're talking like about two guys that came up from fucking 55. It's not like he's talking about guys that came down from 85.
Yeah, but then make it a 65-pound fight. Don't make it a 75.
I'd be down with that, too.
65.
Make it be a title at 165.
Yeah.
Then you don't even 65, have to create a division
Connor,
for it.
Connor could bulk up to 65.
That's really
Connor
what
can't
he should
bulk
do.
Up to 70.
No, that's really what they should do. Make the BMF title the fabulous 165 division, right? Then it's not real. Then Dana's like, oh, we didn't create a division.
Yeah.
And then that's it. There's no fucking rankings.
That's
when you want to fight
in.
The BMF, you come in at least 165.
Yeah. Dude, mm-hmm. What if Nate Diaz and fucking Jorge Masvidal agreed on that 165?
No, they should, because they both fought at 55. Although, I mean, Diaz is still a bigger dude.
Although,
than Masvidal.
George is... Start, yeah, both of them is filled in to 170 at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, Nate's never going to make 55 again. If you, no. I mean, maybe if he went out and fucking starved himself and almost yeah. died and went blind and then fought like shit the next fucking day.
Well, here's the thing. He's even in better like physical shape than he's ever been in his life as far as like muscle tone as well. Because even when he fought 55, when he fought Connor, like he wasn't very muscular. He was just skinny. You know?
If Connor should come out right now and demand to fight the winner of the BMF title, because you know how much more eyeballs will be on that fight then, if you know, like, and then who can bitch about that? I think that would be big. That's what I think. It should be. Fuck
I
it
just don't
fight.
Think he has a good chance of beating well, either of them at 170
I think he has a better
pounds.
Chance of beating fucking Khabib. He ain't going to come back and beat Khabib either. Let's be real. I fucking love Connor. He's not going to come back and beat Khabib. Come on. Get the fuck
Duh,
out of here.
But still, it's...
We do we want to see this again? They can see Connor get humiliated again, get fucking ridden like a fucking donkey, wrestle fucked to the ground, legs trapped while this dude neck cranks him or some shit yeah. and yells in his ear.
You
he
know
gets
what,
up
dude?
And tells us
to
all,
be honest.
Oh, God, that'll be a nightmare.
You know who's still not out of it, though? Is I still can see Ben Askren fighting Khabib.
That could happen in the future, maybe.
That Askren, could still happen.
Askren's got to come out and do good.
Like, that shit that happened with George Masvidal, that shit happens in this sport. Like, that doesn't define his career. That's his first loss of his career. Come on.
Right.
Like, now he's fighting Damian Maia in October. So, like, if he can come out there and have a good performance and dominate Damian Maia, that puts him right back in there with the top of the division.
Yeah. He's got to come out and do good, though. He's got to, like, do...
Yeah, he's got to look good.
Like,
good.
Some Colby Covington fucking beat yeah. down on his ass or some shit.
Yeah, he's got to take him down and just fucking mollywop him. Yeah.
But.
And he could probably do it on the ground. Because he's got some nasty ground and pound. We just haven't had a chance to see it. Think about it. In both his fights, we literally have gotten. This is like. That's the thing. Is like we've literally had zero chance to watch what Ben Askren legitimately has.
Like, you're right.
Like, no one has had a chance to even see what he legitimately has in the octagon. His first fight, he got fucking like, it was like, oh, at first, like, oh, good wrestling. Oh, wow, good, good. And then, oh, shit, he's going to die. And then he somehow recovers, and it was over.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't really get to see what he had at all. Second fight, it's KO'd in fucking 2 seconds. Like, it was... Got zero chance to see what he had to do at all. In this fight, he's fighting Damian Maia, so we'll get to see a little bit more from him. But yeah, that's... I don't know. Fuck Khabib. I'm sorry. I don't like him.
I don't like him either.
I can't stand him.
Dude, I'd like nothing more
than that
to
whole
talk
shit
about
with
how
like
going to kick his ass.
That whole shit like, with like the dictator sitting front row watching him too.
Dude,
like,
how in bad
like,
taste is
on,
that? I mean,
man.
We promised not to talk about politics on the show, but I'm talking about
that's
U.S.
Just
politics.
Fucking
that
weird.
Dude commits fucking heinous crimes,
yeah.
man. Like you're trying to pretend like he's not a mass murderer. Fucking, I mean,
yeah, sitting in front row. He didn't even like
we
dress
doing?
In disguise or anything. He was like wearing a Khabib shirt, dude.
I mean, that. They tried ridiculous. To keep him off the broadcast, but at one point he snuck on yeah. there. Then they cut him out of the other shit.
Yeah.
Like I read some articles that talked about the UFC trying to avoid being seen, getting him on camera. But
yeah, fuck that. Don't let him in if you want to. Get
yeah,
him on
how
camera.
About that? How about you just not fucking do anything for money? You
yeah.
giant fucking whore.
That's what this whole deal is for Abu Dhabi though. It's all money.
Exactly.
It's money in the bank. All day.
So, yeah.
Why do you think fucking Ruiz and Joshua are fighting there, too?
God, I know.
Like, it's just money in the
money
bank right now.
Fucking talks, man.
Yeah.
It just is sometimes you wish somebody would just stand
well,
up
here's
and be
the
like,
thing,
well,
too.
We actually have gay fighters on our roster
well, here,
and
not
women
only that.
Fighters. So, you really can't be having you, of all people, come to our goddamn show.
Yeah. Well, not only that, too, is like also like Abu Dhabi, do better, dude. Like, why are you? Seriously. You have a 5-year deal with this sporting, like, you know, this event's coming, and you just built a tented arena. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Build a serious arena.
You can have athletes compete like that.
Yeah, that's fucking temperatures stupid. Of that
for your amusement. I mean,
like the last time they went, it wasn't an issue because it was like they said it was like in April or something, so it wasn't like too hot. But this time you're coming in basically during the summer.
Yeah, in the dead of the fucking desert.
Yeah.
More so than here.
Yeah.
So. It's like they don't hold a Vegas events at noon in the goddamn sun.
Yeah, fuck.
Like, here's the octagon outside. Yeah. It's on a red rock on top of the fucking cliff. Fuck. Be 130 tonight.
Yeah. It's like if they did it like... Doesn't like Caesar's Palace have an open arena? It's like if they did it there.
That'd be crazy.
Crazy.
Dude, all right, so let's... Oh, we haven't hit this Tahoe yet, have we?
I loaded another one.
Oh, okay, word, I was seeing. Let's pause for a second. We tried all three different kinds of weed. Do you have a favorite, or do you like them all?
Yeah, they're all kind of meshing at this point.
They're all pretty good. I am pretty impressed with all of them, though. I like that Wedding Crasher a lot, though. That shit's smooth. Tell you what, though, all these different terpenes and THC levels are blending quite fucking nicely. You know what else is going nicely? That Death Wish coffee I was drinking earlier.
Jesus
Who Christ. Is not a sponsor yet, but they should be. Yeah. Death Wish. Yeah, if you don't know about Death Wish coffee, it's like 700 milligrams of fucking caffeine in a single cup. I didn't drink a whole cup. But damn. Hell yeah. Well, what else has happened in the UFC lightweight? I mean, is there any other contender that could rise up? I mean, we've got Gaethje clearly making a statement. We've obviously had Tony waiting for fucking ever for this fight. There's Conor, who is always going to be talked about. Is there anybody that legit could else? Like, who else
Poirier
could Gaethje
is still
fight?
Right out, right there.
Poirier is right there, but he's shook.
And
Poirier
he could rematch.
Shook, though. He needs some time. He needs some time to get his head straight.
That Not really. He shook. Stepped out right away and said he wanted to fight Conor right away.
Well, yeah. He's not. I mean, I want to fight Conor, too.
Do you consider that him being shook?
Yeah. Did you hear him talk about retiring? And then you hear him afterwards, he's like, I've never been dominated like that before. Then he was like,
It was,
weird,
though.
I have to reassess my entire fighting future.
Yeah, he was, like, weirdly dominated, though. Like, it was a very strange situation. It was like he was put into a, like Conor, like, he was put into a lot of odd fucking, like, positions, and he just had no idea what to do.
I didn't get to watch that fight live. I had, as you know, some family issues going on. Yeah. But from everything I read,
he just put him in like stupid situations. Like, he almost choked him out like the first like
they were brushing it off in the articles I read. I didn't go back and watch a video. They were brushing it off like Khabib was never in trouble.
He wasn't really.
Like, he was mildly shook by a punch.
Well,
but it was nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, he
so like I don't know. So I don't know.
You never really know. You never really know Khabib, though, because, like, you know, he does that weird shit where he, like, when he's rocked, he like rolls around almost. You know what I mean? Like, he.
Yeah, but then he's not that hurt, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's hard to tell. So, it was kind of a situation like that. But then he did have a deep guillotine, and Khabib was in serious trouble. He was panicking.
Okay.
Yeah. But fucking Dustin just didn't have it in him to finish it. I don't know what the fuck was going on. But
it's
like,
probably that temp, dude. How do you prepare for temperatures like that? What, are you fighting in the fucking
sauna?
Because
then after he said he didn't really feel it.
How can you not feel it, though? I mean, maybe your adrenaline.
It was weird, though.
Else,
yeah,
your
it was
body
strange.
Felt it, though,
yeah, it was strange,
right?
Though. Like, a few fighters throughout the fight card was like, it's hot as fucking.
Like,
here.
The Calderwood
fucking
was
here.
Like, what the fuck?
But then late in the fight, like later in the card, like the main event, like neither guy, like they both got asked out about how hot it was, and they're like, yeah, it was hot, but I didn't feel it. Like, both of them, it was strange.
I don't know. I mean, it kind of sounds like you're being a bitch if you're sitting there talking, yeah. Hey, it's too hot for me to fight.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. But, I mean, just in reality, I mean, you're asking an athlete to perform a grueling task and a temperature. I'm not blaming the loss on it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I feel you.
That type of thing has to factor in at least mildly.
Definitely
even
crazy.
If they don't feel it, they got to be sweating more, which
oh,
is
yeah, for sure.
More, which is, you know, you just got to be.
It's an
but
issue.
It's going to hit them both equally.
Yeah, it's an issue, but like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's an issue, but it's more of like a more of like a UFC issue than a fighter issue, you know, because it, like you just said, it affects both guys. So it's not like it's like something where you'd be like, oh, well, he can handle it better than I did, so I lost, you know.
Right, right. God damn, awesome.
Yeah, so I think that about, I think we should head over to some boxing and talk about some of that, about last night. Tyson Fury coming back, winning that fight last night.
Dude, he had a major cut.
Yeah, it was big. Well, the dude and there really was some misinformation in the ring as well. There's some misinformation in the ring because Tony Weeks, the referee, he told Tyson's corner that it was from a headbutt. But then the commission then reviewed it at the desk and deemed it was a punch.
Yeah.
So they're on both sides. So up to, I want to say, like the sixth or seventh round, Tyson Fury's corner thought that was from a headbutt and they had nothing to worry about. And then, obviously, the commentary team did like corner chat, like little things. And they told them, and they're like, well, that's just something we're going to have to deal with then. And then fucking kudos to fucking Tyson's cut, man. Holy shit. He kept that thing from bleeding, like, as much as he could. And
Tyson's team is pretty...
Man, he was putting so much Vaseline on it, though. Jesus, man.
That shit was nasty. I saw some close-ups today.
Well, the problem was it was two cuts. It was one under the eyelid and one over the eye, or over the eyebrow. So it was like, it looked a lot worse than it was, to be honest. Because, like, it wasn't affecting his, like, sight throughout the fight. He was almost fucking it up himself worse. Like, he kept doing this thing where he was, like, pawing at it the whole time. I was like, what are you doing, man? You're like, he was taking the Vaseline off himself. It was weird.
Well, Wallen was intentionally going after it as well, including, like, thumbing it.
To be honest, here's the problem.
Doing his little pussy-ass punches, trying to make it bleed more.
That's the problem, is he was, like, it was almost a bad thing that he busted Tyson up, because as soon as he busted him up, he was like so surprised he did it. He was like, oh my God, what do I do now? You know what I mean? He was kind of a deer in the headlights after that. Like when he hadn't hurt him and hadn't done any of that shit early in the fight, he was going to the body and he was honestly breaking Tyson down a little bit. He was giving it to him, and then he got that cut, and he was like, oh, now I got to hit him in the face. And, you know, Tyson Fury's defense is pretty good. So, he was just kind of – the second half of the fight was just completely dominated by Tyson Fury. You know, like, as soon as that cut happened, Wallen kind of stepped back and was like, oh, my God, I can actually win this fight. And then just tried to go after his eye and –
You can also say you Tyson can't got win like rhythm that. A bit and fucking figure
well,
out
you can't win like that
too.
Because, you know, you don't even damage the eye when you do those stupid little punches he was doing. He was like...
Right, he was trying, his only purpose was to damage the cut work.
Yeah, he was like in the clinch almost like rubbing him.
Punch.
He's like rubbing his face.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing, bro? That's not going to do shit. Hit him there. The same power you hit him with when you fucking opened it. And then you will close his eye. Because that was the issue. He wasn't... It was cut, but it wasn't really swollen. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, his eye itself wasn't swelling shut.
Yeah.
But the cut itself was kind of gaping.
Gashed, yeah.
Tyson was lucky because it didn't bleed directly into his eyeball. Because that would have fucked it up. It seemed to, like, run off his eye.
Mm-hmm. And that's where he kind of was able to tell the doc, kind of fake the doctor. Like, yeah, I can see fine. Look, see, there's nothing in my eye. But obviously, later in the fight, he dealt with it. He got rocked in the 12th, too. He almost got put away. It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But on every scorecard, he won by, like, six rounds.
Yeah, everything I saw was, like, 118, 110, 117, 111.
There was one close card that he said he only won by four rounds, which I thought was just stupid.
There was a lot of writers saying that he should have been, that Wallen should have been penalized a
point for that. For
intentionally trying to thumb that cut.
Yeah, that was fucked up. Because they broke, they were tied up. He broke them. And as he was breaking them, he reached over and fucking thumbed him. And it was, like, at the end of the round. So I feel like he was just like, ah, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. He was just like, hey, don't ever do that again, pretty much. You know?
Well, now, ultimately, Fury wins. But one interesting aspect this might have is that's a major
this could
cut.
This could push the next fight back.
This like, the Two Wilder fight cuts. Isn't in jeopardy from happening. It's in jeopardy of being postponed, I would say.
Yeah. Because that cut could take a while to heal. This is all going to be kind of played by ear.
Like that. He can't take a risk of a cut that not reopening, being fully healed and then having it dump blood into his eye. And then
a guy like Deontay Wilder will fucking go after you.
Yeah, that shit needs to be fully fucking healed before he steps in there with fucking Deontay Wilder of all fucking people.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And that's not bullshit. That's
absolutely.
So, yeah, Tyson, that might get delayed for a long minute because a cut like that.
Tyson just really
superficially.
Here's the thing. He just leaned on his superior boxing skills against Wallen. If he gets cut like that against Deontay might be wild, but he has pinpoint accuracy, man. Like he's able to find his punches pretty well. So the thing is, if he just sits back, relaxes, and is able to open up Tyson like fucking Wallen was able to, this could be a whole new fight in the rematch. Because in that first fight, it was a lot of hooks thrown by Wilder, a lot of big punches that were looping, and Fury just kind of sat back and saw them all coming and got out of the way.
We'll see. He's still got to get through Ortiz, though, which that fight Wilder does, which oddly doesn't have a date yet.
Yeah, it's still like up in the air for some reason. Supposedly it was supposed to be October. Now I heard last night they were saying that it could be in November or December.
Well, that'll become more feasible now if Tyson's cut. He is hurt.
Well, so you know what?
Because they were initially talking about February 22nd for the
Fury Wilder
card here in Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah.
But I don't.
We'll see about that. You know who deserves a bonus today? Like his fucking cut, man. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He had literally millions of dollars in his hands last night.
Yeah, no shit.
Tyson's
training team in general is just amazing.
Yeah. He has a good circle of people around him, for sure.
He does. 26-year-old trainer, that still trips me the fuck out.
Yeah. I don't know. He's like the iffiest part of his corner. Like the people he trained with are dope because he trains with like Ricky Hatton and stuff. So he has like good people in his camp. But I feel like Ben Davidson, although he knows what he's doing, but like last night, he just kind of was like, I don't know. It's hard for me to explain. Like, it was more of like, you know what you need to do type shit. Like,
well, I mean, there's not much you can tell a fighter in the middle of a fight other than shit they've drilled and, mainly phrases to keep people centered and calm and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a small bit of strategy because Tyson Fury is a very cerebral boxer.
That's what I was thinking too, but it's just like, you know what I mean? There just was, he just didn't have very much form in the corner most of the time.
Most of that work is done in private. And Tyson seems to glow about him. And most insiders seem to think he's fucking amazing. But either way, let's hope that Tyson heals up fucking nice. And we don't get too big of a delay. I don't know, 5 months. It depends on the type of training and what he's doing and how his body heals. But I mean, superficially, that should have looked fine in, 5 weeks. But
yeah, but it's
deep
still
down
that,
inside,
yeah.
That shit doesn't
It'll
heal.
Split right
It'll
back
split
open.
Right back open in a fight, man. Like,
yeah.
So, we'll see.
Shit, stem cells in there.
Fuck yeah.
All right, so let's transition out of boxing. Let's go back to the UFC. So, next weekend, we got a Mexico City card.
That's an interesting card. They're finally going back to Mexico City.
There
was a headline.
There were some huge fights that were rumored to be the main event of this card, but we end up getting a fucking barn burner anyways.
Yeah, we get Yair Rodriguez versus Jeremy Stephens at featherweight.
Hell yeah.
Rodriguez in his first appearance since that crazy elbow KO of the Korean Zombie.
Uh-huh, Jeremy Stephens gone on some rough times.
Which a fight, let's be clear, although he did get the win and that was an amazing knockout, he was getting his ass,
kicked
for that entire
let's
fight.
Let's also be clear on the other side that Jeremy Stephens was beating fucking homeboy. What's his name? Jeremy Stephens' last fight. The Russian guy from
Alexander Volkanov?
No. The Russian guy from the same campus, Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking in my head. I don't know why I said Volkanov. Probably because we've been smoking 3 different kinds of weed.
Yeah, he's got a really intense.
Yeah, yeah. The fucking dude, featherweight. Anyways, I know. Yeah, it was against him.
Yep.
And he was looking good.
But yeah, that he was winning that fight, but that guy's just...
That dude's he's a fucking beast. He's going to be next in line for Holloway. I know, we should check it out real quick because it's going to drive crazy. The next... This break in discussion is brought to you by marijuana. Our everyday sponsor on this, the SWAT MMA podcast. You sure it's not Alexander Volkanovsky?
No, that's not it at all.
Why do I want to keep saying that? It's just the weed.
His name is Zabit Magomedsharipov. That's his name, Zabit. He fought Zabit last.
I'm thinking of the wrong guy completely.
Yeah. So Jeremy Stephens, he had a, remember he fucking a lot. You were telling me about how much you thought he beat Zabit when they fought and.
Yeah, I remember that fight. Oh, I just thought he had another one in between there.
No, I think that was the last fight.
Yeah, I thought he won that fight.
Yeah, that's three in a row losses for Jeremy Stephens. So this could be dangerous territory for him.
I don't think the UFC will ever get rid of him, though.
No,
but
no,
as
not,
far as his not, ranking, not, I'm his talking about contention. His ranking. Yeah. You're right. This is
because what he's lost. He lost. He lost Aldo. Lost to. The guy who fought for Moicano, and now he's going to lose. Then he lost to...
I think he has a good chance of beating Rodriguez, though, man. Jeremy Stephens brings a brawl, kind of like Edgar does.
Yeah.
And he fucking... Yeah, he's got a good chance. Good technical
outside. Yeah, if stays on the outside, then,
I don't know when he gets into a nasty, gritty war, I don't know, man.
Five rounds, though.
Zombie's a nasty, gritty fighter, and we're fucking him up.
Five rounds is always a different story.
This is true, and he is in front of his...
Jeremy Stephens is never one to not stand and strike. And that's what kind of scares me for him. Because Yair, although he doesn't do well with pressure fighters, he also has moves in his arsenal to push a guy back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's got great kicks. I don't know, man. This could be a long night for either guy. What are you looking up now?
I was just looking at his three wins before these two losses. I mean, he lost to Aldo and Zabit. And then prior to that, I mean, he beat Melendez, Duho Choi, and then Josh Emmett with a KO.
Yeah. He was on a good fucking... He was on... Remember, it was literally like it was him or Aldo was going to fight fucking Holloway next until everyone else came into the picture.
Well... Yeah, we figured that shit out.
Yeah.
But so we got Yair Stephens. I actually like Stephens in this fight. I'm going to pick him to
take win. Taking Yair.
That's a fairly safe bet. I figured you'd take the safe bet.
That's but not a safe bet. Yair's the young fucking guy on the come up.
Yeah, Stephens would definitely be the upset, but I think he's going to go in there. I think he's going to make it nasty, and I think he's going to grind out a fucking KO, TKO.
He needs it, though.
Probably in the third or fourth. When it gets a little bit fucking gritty.
Yep.
A little nasty.
I guess so.
Maybe. We'll see. And then, who else we got on there? We got a...
Co-main event. We got Carla Esparza versus Alexa Grasso.
That's a good fight.
Another good fight.
That's
you
a
know,
good fight for Carla.
It's got solid title implications. No one's getting a title shot right away, but that'll definitely shoot you in the rankings a win for either of these girls.
Carla doesn't get the respect she deserves still. She's a fucking mean wrestler. She could go out. She's looked good in her last fight.
She just, you know what she does? She just never stops coming forward. You know, this is like, it's like no matter, we saw it when she fought Joanna. It was like, you had to stop that fight because she just wouldn't stop coming.
Well, that was
and she
like,
was just getting hit. You know, and she's just that kind of
That was
kinda
not
fire.
A good example of, I think she's evolved a bit since then. Like she
absolutely,
got the title too
but
quick.
You know what I mean, though? She just has that in her that she's just going to keep going until you stop the fight.
Yeah, she does have that. Who you like there? Grasso's no joke.
Yeah, Grasso's no joke either, though. I don't know.
I don't know either. That's kind of a toss-up. We'll see. As a fan, I'd like to see Carla go in there and get to win. I've always liked Carla.
Yeah,
I watched that season of Tough with her and everybody else on it, you know.
First champion ever.
Yep.
She's always been in the mix, but she's just kind of took some time off here and there that have, like, you know, she's, like, been weirdly put. And she's had some tough fights. Her last fight.
She has. She's been in some tough spots, man.
Hell yeah.
I enjoyed that season. You know, I have a daughter. We watched that together. We went to all the weigh-ins out here and all that stuff. So you like, you feel like you've watched the show before. You feel like you know all these.
Well, shit, Carla Esparza went to college with my brother too.
Yeah, I know. She goes. Then she's got the obvious clear connection to you and your family.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'd really like to see her get the win as a fan.
So. Yeah, she.
Grosso's tough.
Yeah. Hopefully she pulls. I don't know. It's a toss-up. It's literally a toss-up. Yeah. Honestly. But then we got Sergio Pettis and Alex Perez. I mean, this isn't just next on the card, but it's a little stashed on the undercard. But this is,
I don't know why they're dropping that shit.
Yeah,
so
that's
far
this is a good fight. Sergio Pettis coming back down to flyweight because they're staying around.
Apparently, they are.
Alex Perez is a fucking motherfucker, though.
Yeah, he is.
That's not going to be
easy.
He's coming
off a loss, though, isn't he?
No, I think he won his last fight.
Did he? It's not an easy fight for either guy, but yeah, Sergio
Sergio had some, well, fucking Sergio was a fight away from the title, beats Joey two times, but then they tell him his division's gone.
Right.
And he loses a fight to Formiga, moves up, loses a fight up there. Now he's back on down to 25 to kind of get his shit back together, you know? So this could be a big coming out party for Sergio Pettis if he really has got his training regiment together and, like, got himself back on track where he was at, you know what I mean?
Right.
So this could be a big performance. Or Perez to come in and put a real big name on his resume, you know?
Okay, no, I forgot. I was thinking of the Benavidez fight was his last fight, but no, he came back and beat Mark De La Rosa by
decision. I was going to say, yeah, I know he's
on that
Barboza-Gaethje
card.
Yeah.
So before then, he was on a nice, long fucking run.
Yeah, he was... I don't know, man. I like
Sergio. He was on an 8-fight win streak before then. Then he got TKO'd by Joey two times.
Yeah.
Fucking, that's what I want to see.
That's what's strange about flyweight,
man. I
want to
see your boy fight Joey two times. God damn it.
He's
defend that title.
He's not going to fight him. He's just going to drop that belt. I guarantee it.
I think it'll be a great fight, man.
Yeah, but there's $0 in that fight.
Yeah, he needs to go ahead and drop that fucking title then. But
yeah, I'd rather see Sergio Pettis and Joey two times rematch.
Yeah, that'd be good, too.
Because that was a good fight.
But Joey don't want to wait around for another fucking fight. But we'll see. We'll see.
Dude, we'll see the UFC, really keeping that shit. You haven't seen, right, the week before Abu Dhabi, Cejudo called out fucking Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz answered. They're both literally on the same track for shoulder injuries to come back the same month.
No.
Dominic Cruz and Henry Cejudo are fighting each other next. 100%. No. 100%. It's a done deal, dude. There's no way. They're talking shit back and forth, making videos
then, just
about each
drop
other.
The goddamn belt, then.
I'm sure
at
he
least
will.
At least he quit calling out girls.
You didn't see that video? You didn't see that video, dude? Valentina rolled up him at the club and beat him up.
Yeah, I heard it.
Dude, I'm telling you, dude.
I don't watch that dude's corny shit. I just like to make fun of it.
Dude, you're lucky you didn't see the Dominic Cruz call out then.
Dude, was it the one where he put the diapers on the belt?
Yeah.
That was embarrassing, dude. I saw that tweet, and I felt embarrassed looking at it. I don't even like Henry Cejudo. I was like, oh, man, I just feel embarrassed. I'm not even going to watch this nonsense. But that's good. I guess some people like it. I don't know. Whatever.
But, yeah, that seems like that's the next fight. So I could see the flyweight title being dropped.
Man, why can't Cruz get a warm-up fight before then? Although he swears he doesn't need him. But
yeah, Cruz is the one that wants this fight. Henry has a list of guys that he could fight.
I heard him refer to Henry as a wee little man who wasn't
in
his league.
You see he, like, fucking showed up to, like, the UFC event? Remember how they had, the pop-up things at the fan experience?
Yeah.
So I guess they had, like, a fan experience in Abu Dhabi. And there was a pop-up of like a life-size Henry Cejudo, and he was like, what are you doing here, little guy? Or something like that.
Oh, that's funny. Is he that much taller than him?
No. He's like 3 or 4 inches taller than him. It's not like, it's not like fucking.
Yeah, but when you talk about guys that small already,
yeah.
Like how many people could Dominic Cruz call dude. Little guy?
Yeah.
That motherfucker's gonna relish every second of that shit.
Tommy Cruz is like,
he's like, I've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, you know, like Dominic Cruz, he created the 125 division.
Yeah, by beating up all them fucking
35ers. Beating up all those 125ers that were 35ers, and they're like, dude, we need somewhere.
They're like, we need to go elsewhere and fight.
Yeah, fuck.
That's true.
Because if you look at it, look at Dominic's whole record. It's like, He beat Joey two times, fucking like four times in WEC, dude. Yeah. He fought him four fucking times.
Yeah, he beat the pants off
that dude. He beat him up so many times.
People forget it's like they have short MMA memories are short.
He's well, and also it. Like Dominic Cruz owned WEC outside of that loss to Uriah Faber. Like he had some big fights in WEC and okay. He had some dominant performances. People don't know as much about Dominic Cruz because when he came to the UFC, he had a couple big wins and then a couple humongous injuries that at one point caused him to temporarily retire. And then now he's come back and he still...
His injuries.
For all his injuries, he still has some of the best performances I've seen in the octagon.
No, 100%.
The way he was able to come back...
by those injuries, he'd have been pound for pound king. Or in discussion of the ever... evolving pound for pound fucking king, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, to go like, to come back is... so I'm gonna do a little shit talking here, so just be ready for this. So coming back to the fact that not only was TJ Dillashaw caught with EPO by USADA, but who knows how long he's been using EPO outside of USADA.
No, that was the first time he ever did drugs. Yeah. No, mom, I've never done drugs before.
To go in and beat TJ Dillashaw in the middle of his prime after coming back off two awful knee surgeries, two ACLs, like that's fucking two ACLs. Yeah. That's a fucking...
Tendons off corpses, dude, in his legs and the tendon doesn't take and he has to go back and get it done again.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Two ACL tears is a death sentence for a sports athlete, dude. Any sport, basketball, football,
guy who relies on his two fucking ACL movement, tears like, is
done. You're done. So for him to come back and beat TJ Dillashaw in the way he did, and not only beat him, but outstrike him, he outworked him. It was fucking awesome. And then, although he had that he has that one loss to fucking Garbrandt, which was... He just didn't look himself, but since then...
Dude, no one wants to talk about it, but you try fighting when you got fucking plantar fasciitis flaring up like that. Like, that's why he didn't... Because everybody's like, why didn't he move like he always moves? That's why.
Well,
I mean, it happened. You can't change it. It's not an excuse.
Fucking pull out then, dude. Like, fuck.
Dude, that dude wasn't going to pull out. He was like,
I know, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he should have. Like,
but after all those injuries, he was like, I can still walk, bitches.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why. We all sat there and were like, why isn't he moving right? And then weeks later, it comes out that he had plantar fasciitis at that
point. He had those little fucking taped ankle things trying to help it out, but it didn't really help.
And this is a guy that we all know how he moves. That's his whole fucking thing.
Well, here's the thing. Since then, freaking the whole division has just been like, no one's really been as dominant as like Dominic Cruz was. Like Dillashaw, he was a little dominant there, but Dillashaw has, four losses on his record now? He's lost to Burrell. He's lost to Cruz.
And Cruz fucked him up so bad, even he was dominant.
Only three
Cruz
losses.
Absent.
Four, because he also lost to John Dobson. Dobson, Cruz, and those are all situations where he got knocked out. Actually, he didn't get knocked out. I'm tripping.
He got knocked out by that.
He got Dobson and Henry.
Dobson.
And Henry,
what the fuck is that guy right now?
He's at 135.
He needs to fucking do something.
He's fighting at 135, I think. But so I don't know, man. That whole division is in a strange spot.
I don't care if they make that fight because at this point, I've accepted the fact that contenders like they're not going to get their. They got to wait. There's going to be a money fight irregardless. I guess the Cruz fight is better as long as he drops that fucking flyweight belt.
Yeah.
Let those guys fight then.
Well, that was a strange tangent we just went on. But
oh, fuck it. Fuck it. It's an interesting fight.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a more interesting fight.
And Sergio Pettis and the Alex Perez fight played into it. But there is one more kind of interesting fight on that card, right?
It's your girl, dude.
My girl.
Sajara Eubanks. I don't know if there's Betch Gohea needs a win really bad.
I need Betch to knock out.
She needs a win, man.
I don't like Eubanks' attitude. She annoys me, man.
Yeah.
She missed weight against my girl, Roxanne Modafari.
Talking shit.
I'm talking shit.
Didn't she beat her after, too?
Yeah.
Wow, fucked up. Fucked up.
Very annoying. So I'm hoping Betch comes out.
Beats that bitch up.
Beats that bitch up. No, Eubanks is a good fighter, man. She's tough. I'm glad to see her up at this higher weight class, yeah, honestly. Dude, she doesn't need to be fucking around at lower weight. This is a 35. She should be a 35. Come she's on, big. Bitch. She's tough. This is actually going to be a good fight.
Yeah, it's going
to
be intense.
It should be a brawl, I would imagine. This is a stand-up fight.
Nah, if you're Sajar Eubanks, you take this to the ground and you do what you do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what she's going to want to do. I don't know. Betch is decent enough.
She's a tough bitch.
You know. Dude, that's so funny. Oh, God. I say the word bitch like 800 times a day. But I have to actively be careful when I say her name because I'm always fucking high not to say bitch, Kohea.
I didn't say bitch. Have any disrespect. I didn't say bitch, man. I said bitch.
I know. It's so hard. I'm like, it's the only name we ever discuss in MMA where I'm like thinking, okay, don't say.
She's a tough bitch.
Don't say bitch because like it's bitch, bitch. It's like right there.
Bitch.
We're talking about I cuss like a chill fucking out, sailor. But where's she been? She's been gone for a minute, right? Kohea, she didn't look too she's hot had in
some
her
tough,
last
she's
fight.
She's had some tough losses, you know. So.
She was kind of in there with fighters she shouldn't have really been in there with.
Not necessarily really, because she was dominating the lower level contenders, you know.
Well,
so
yeah, I guess hindsight's always nice for that. But
yeah.
Against Eubanks, I hope she wins.
I think this is a good fight for her to get back on track for sure.
And who do you like in the fight? Who do you think's gonna win?
I'll take that bitch.
Take that betch. That betch Kohea. Yeah. I'll take that betch Kohea too. That's who I like in that fight. Oh man, that's been a good episode. Right, all right. I think we'll wind it down on that.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up.
And we'll be back next week on a regular schedule here, folks. We're back from our little extended break that we had there. Thank everybody for tuning in. WBUZ 95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app Thursday night, 6 p.m. out here in Vegas. It's going to be 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can find all that info where?
SWATMA.com, where you could also go grab one of these t-shirts here and support the motherfucking podcast, yo.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody. Peace.
Deuces.